October 9th at 1 a.m. Jesus says, "Do not grow sad, then, all of you that weep. Trust in me, and entrust to me the destiny of your loved ones. Earthly time is short, children. I will soon call you where life lasts. So be holy to obtain eternal life, where your loved ones already await you, or where they will reach you after purgation. The current separation is as short as an hour that quickly passes. Afterwards there comes the reunion of spirits in the light, and, in the future, the blessed resurrection, whereby you will rejoice, not only in union with your loved ones, but also in the sight of those faces dear to you whose disappearance makes you weep, as if a theft had robbed you of the jewel dearest to you. Nothing is changed, O children. Death does not separate you, if you live in the Lord. Those who have gone beyond earthly life, are not separated from you. They cannot be, for they live in me as you live. It is simply that, to offer you a human comparison, they have risen from the lower members to higher, more noble parts, and they thus love you more perfectly, because they are even more united to me, and from me draw perfection. Only the damned are dead. They alone. But the others live. They live, Maria. Understand. They live. Do not cry. Pray I will come soon. The worker, as the evening falls, hastens his work to finish the task of his day, and then go happily, to rest after having received a worthy salary for it. When for a creature too, the evening of life on earth falls, labor must be speeded up to give the finishing touches to the nearly completed work, and give them joyfully, considering that repose is near after, so much fatigue, and that the salary will be large, because a lot of work was done. I am a master who remunerates well. I am a father who waits for you to reward you. I am the one who loves you, and has always loved you, and will always love you. Not one of your tears is unknown to me, and none will go unrewarded. Remain in me more and more, and do not fear. Do not be afraid that I will leave you alone. Even when I do not speak, I am with you. You alone? Oh, don't say that. You have your Jesus with you, and where Jesus is, all paradise is. You are not alone. Mary was not alone in the little house in Nazareth. The angels surrounded her human solitude. You, Maria, are not alone. You have me as a father, you have Mary as a mother, you have my saints as brothers and sisters and my angels as friends. Whoever lives in me has everything, my daughter. I do not say to you, don't cry. I too, cried, and so did Mary, but I say to you, don't cry with those human tears which are a negation of faith and hope. Never cry these. Have faith not only in the great realities of faith, but also in my secret words. They are mine, be certain of this. And have hope in my promises. When I come to give you life, you will see that you have not lost those you have wept for. Those who die without Jesus in their hearts are lost. As for you, remain in Jesus. In him you will find all you long for. I will dry every tear from your eyes forever just as I now console every sorrow of yours, which I cannot free you from, because it is of use for the glory of your God and your own. The winter of life quickly passes, my dove, and when the eternal spring comes, I will come to crown you with flowers, taking away the thorns which you bore out of love for me. Still, October 9th at the end of the morning, and after my tremendous crisis and communion, Jesus says, there are the ones who come to me by a common destiny, and there are the ones predestined to be something special in my service. Among the predestined there are those who lived like angels from birth on, and there are those who became angels, out of love, after having been men. But they are equally those predestined to be stars illuminating the way for their brothers and sisters who are going, and who need, so many lights to go. I am light, most powerful light, and I ought to be enough to guide the peoples on the road leading to heaven. But men, whose eyes are bending down excessively towards the mire, no longer bear the absolute light. They can no longer receive it, because in them there is lacking the spiritual exercise of the mind turned to God and confidence in God. The poor men either are separated from me, and do not look at me, because they do not think of me, or they are crushed by their superficial mentality, which brings God to be seen, and thought of in terms of their own measure. Therefore, not humbly, but only wretchedly, they say I am too different from the way God wants man to be and cannot raise my eyes to God. Oh, blind men and fools! Is it the healthy who go to the doctor? Is it the rich who go to the benefactor? No. It is the sick, and the poor, that resort to whoever can help them. And you are the poor and the sick, and I am your Lord and doctor. I say it to no avail. You are afraid of me. You are not afraid of sinning and wedding Satan, but you are afraid to look at me, and come close to me. And then, so that you will not die outside my way, I give you the stars with a gentle light which are nothing but emanations of me, part of me which comes to you in such fashion, that it does not induce foolish terror in you. I, the eternal sun, penetrate my predestined ones with myself, and these radiate my light in your midst, and give forth currents of spiritual attraction, to draw you to me, who await you on the threshold of the heavens. Woe to the earth, if a day were to come when God's eye could no longer choose from among the children of man the beings predestined to be my bearers of the light and the voice. Woe! It would mean that among billions of men there is no longer a just or generous one, for the predestined are among the just, who never offended justice, and the generous who have overcome everything beginning with themselves to serve me. You are among the latter, little creature who live by love. You are among these. After so much torment you understood that only I could be for you what your soul wanted, and you came. But I had chosen you before you existed to be the voice of Jesus the Master. I have waited for this hour, Maria, with the heart of a father and spouse. I have followed you with my gaze, patiently awaiting the hour, to tell you my will and my word. Nothing was hidden from me, about what you would do that was less good, but neither was anything hidden about what you would dare to do from the moment you would hurl yourself into the current of love. You will say, you revealed yourself so late, O Lord. Late. I would have wanted it to be much sooner, daughter, but I had to work you as the goldsmith does with rough gold. I shaped you twice. In your mother's womb to give you to the world, but later within me to give you to heaven, and make you a bearer of my light into the world. I knew when you would come, and when you would be mature for service. God is not in a hurry, for God knows everything about the lives of his children. The hour has come in which you are no longer a woman, but just the soul of your Lord, an instrument, as you have said. And when you wrote that, you did not know that my love would use you in this way after so many years of trial. Now go, act, and speak according to my desire. I do not say command. I say desire, for one commands a subordinate and one makes a request of a friend, and you are my friend. Don't be afraid of anything or anyone. Neither the forces of the earth, nor the forces of hell will be able to harm you, for you are with me. What you say is not your word, it is my word, which I place on your lips, so that you will repeat it to the depth of the earth. What you do is my power, which I give you for the good of those dying in spiritual starvation. You are not the poor Maria, a weak woman, sick, alone, unknown, subject to treachery. You are my beloved disciple, and I swear to you that even if the whole world moved to wage war on you, it could not take away from you what I have given you, for I am with you. You have understood clearly the Northless, the peoples who now invade, or try to invade, the Christian land par excellence, the one where Rome is, the seat of my church. A punishment merited by the embezzlers, who have bowed their heads, previously marked with my sign, before the idols of the lying foreign powers, that are now the first to bring torment. A sorrow for the honest, is this hour, but not willed by me. Make the sorrow come to have a limit. Do so by returning to me. If the four powers of the North were to ally themselves against you in a horrid conspiracy of dark forces, the light would fade out on your soil, and the blood of the martyrs would again become fresh from new blood dripping upon it. There must be very, very much prayer, daughter of my love. I can no longer ask you for other sacrifices of affections, because you are naked like me on the cross. But if it were possible, I would ask you for many others for this purpose. I will help you. But, since I need tears for holy water upon Italy, bespattered with mire, I advise you that I will render your affliction harsh, so that it will avail for many losses, and for many acts of forgiveness by God regarding Italy. Say with me, Lord, to preserve Italy from new catastrophes, and especially from those of the spirit, I agree to drink the chalice of pain. Remain with me, Lord, as I consummate my passion as a little redeemer, and I will always remain with you until it is time to take you there, where the passion ceases and the glorious resurrection in me begins.